You are listening to Journeys on Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com and simulcast with wolfspiritradio.com. Join JP, your tour guide today, on this journey of discovery from the known to the unknown in search of enlightenment, knowledge, and truth. Welcome to Journeys with JP, with myself, J of the P. Yes, indeed. This is Revolution Radio on freedomslips.com. I would recommend buying a seed pack if you want to fund these people, because if you buy a seed pack, you get seeds. And when you get seeds, you get plants. And when you get plants, you get fed. And this might be an issue in the future. You might want to also get used to not eating too much meat, because it might not be so available, or might be a little toxic. It seems to be more and more. So tonight is a kind of it's Easter, right? So there's kind of new things in the air, things are freshly springing up, and presumably there are people who have not heard Journeys with JP before. Or, indeed, who have not heard a Journeys with JP ray reading, which is one of the things that I do. Really, you can only find out about it by having it done. Do come along to chat rooms. There are chat rooms on Wolf Spirit Radio. For wolfspiritradio.com/listen is our new experimental one. And then there's, of course, /wolfchat. And then there's, of course, the freedomslips.com Red Revolution Radio chat room. You have to choose yourself a thing. Choose yourself a username and give yourself something like that. So, that was it's quite a good... as we were saying, Moon in Scorpio. Let's talk about sex. Shall we talk about sex? I don't know. Maybe I should get my girlfriend to call in. And, there we see. Where shall I start today? As I said, if you want to call in, we got lots of call-in numbers. There's the regular Studio B, 310-421-4053 number. That's also supplemented by, if you're in the UK, you can call 0141-356-4141. That's 0141-356-4141. Freedom Screen 2 is the Skype name. I think you can call that directly. How else can you call in? I suppose you could instant message me on the chat room, but it would be better to talk to me. It's much easier to connect with somebody's soul when you're actually exchanging vibrations, i.e. the voice. There's so much that is carried in the voice this is why internet radio is so good, because you can pick up nuances and you pick up telepathic pictures, because it's all imposed, it's all modulated onto the voice. So, As I said, I'm inviting calls in. Anybody wants to have a re-reading? I'll tell you what you like, purely from being able to tune in to your higher self and your unified self. Where should we start? I mean, I can talk about the bell. If nobody calls in, I'm going to talk about the Nazis, okay? I'm going to start talking about time-traveling Nazis, because that's been my... That's my theme of the weekend, was time-traveling Nazis and researching time-traveling Nazis, being a being the point of the whole thing. All right. Well, hello. Hello, Monty Dean. Oh, no. You've got... can you call again? Sorry. Because... That was, sorry about that. Somebody called and I didn't add to the call. No, I can't put him on... Well, why is that? I can't bring him in, but I will be able to add you to the call, Monty. Okay, so hang that up. Let's see if I can add you to the call. And that's weird. It's odd that Skype's not able to connect me. Monty. Monty Dean? No, I haven't got you in my... All right, add to contacts. See that? And see if he can call in. That's bizarre. One of the things is, I'm just moaning about Skype, folks, don't worry about that. Somebody's trying to call in. Ah, there we go. And now I can bring them in. There we go. And, yes, now we're ringing. And good evening, good afternoon, good morning. Monty Dean, where are you?
I'm in Melbourne. How are you, JP? Good morning. It's about 10 a.m.
Good morning to you. Wow. What is that device that you've got on your avatar?
That's actually, I can't remember where I got it, but that's one of the space arcs that apparently the elite are building. Like, have you seen the movie 2012 with John Cusack?
No, I actually avoided it like the plague. But anyway, is it like a kind of... it's a big ship that takes lots of people.
Yeah, it's a submarine spaceship arc type thing.
How cool and how useful. So, Monty, where did you say you were in Melbourne?
Yes, Melbourne. I do roundtables on Tuesday and Wednesday mornings on Studio A, so I haven't had a chance to talk to you. Hello.
Good afternoon. Well, or good morning. Or, well, it's what is it? It's 1 a.m. in the morning, so it's a kind of good evening here. And we got another caller coming in. That's 585 as well. So we'll add you in a second, 585. So Monty from Melbourne. What's up? What's news?
Well, I was just listening to Studio B after listening to Willow's first show on B, and it was very fascinating to read the chat room because they're all listening on A. You were talking about the Ray readings, and I'm fascinated with that because a musician, stand-up comic, and I use my voice a lot. And I, as you know, I haven't hit the international circuit yet, so I'm just wondering if there's a block or anything or whatever you can find. I'm fascinated because we're in a universe of vibration, so I'd like to find out more about vibration and so on and so forth.
Okay, so while you were talking, that gave me just about enough. And that's why there was a little gap in the time. Just enough time to quickly read your rays, and I'd say you were pretty much spot on, my friend. Your rays are Monad 1, Soul 2, Personality 3. So, in a way, you're kind of an archetypical future human. You're forward-looking, you communicate a lot, you have a more-than-average intelligence, you're putting the picture together, you're sharing it with as many people as you can. How about that?
Yeah, that sounds about right.
Because that's what I'm doing, you see, and you've got the same rays as me, so that was easy.
Yeah, well, there you go. Oh, I'm a reflection. But I also was intrigued because I felt a shift over the last 2 days with the moon, blood moon, eclipse-y, whatever happened mm-hmm. in the sky. Mm-hmm. Like when I was coming out of the dream state and coming into this physical level, some part of me or someone or something said, well done, Monty, and I could feel like a shift up. So I was just... I'm in that recalibration thing. It's probably why Easter is 4 days. If the full moon's in the middle of it, you've still got 48 hours to go, okay, what's happening now? Oh, it's Tuesday. Let's keep going.
Well, indeed. And welcome to Tuesday. You're in Tuesday already. We're still in Monday. Actually, no, I'm in Tuesday. America's in Monday. But there's definitely been a shift. Easter and, well, here's the thing. You know, the path of initiation that we are all on, consciously or unconsciously, to get us back out of where we are. The path of initiation has been set down thousands of years ago, how to get back all the 12 strands of DNA, basically, you know, the whole ascension thing. And we've all been along this path, and we're all along this path to a greater or lesser degree. Now, some people have taken a step just like a few years before another group of people. And so you have waves of groups of people. And there are certain groups that that are more initiatory, and some of them are more maintaining, if you see what I mean. There are like people who carve the paths and people who then lay the tarmac, and then there are others who keep the tarmac maintained. You understand?
Yep. Yes.
So where you're at is... And where most of the people who are doing these radio programs, they're learning stuff, they're bringing things together, yeah, they're synthesizing everything that they are, everything that they've learned, everything from past lives, from future lives, from present lives, they're focusing themselves in the moment, and that's making them into ascended humans. So your path is to be who you are, to do what you do in the way that you do it, and that creates a radioactivity that... in the same way that radioactivity and a chain reaction causes other nuclei to split and become who they are, then that's what's going to happen. And there's so much Uranus-Pluto activity going on. It's Uranus that's like a lightning bolt that is changing things around and causing ultimate change. Pluto causes destruction, Uranus causes change. So when there's when there's the two connected together, it's, you know, destruction and change. But it's like we're in a mortar and pestle. We're being crushed to a fine powder to be able to move through the double slit experiment to become waves and to become particles, and that's the whole thing about being third dimensional, fifth dimensional. You know, realize that you're a wave, become the wave, move somewhere else, become the particle somewhere else. That's the essence of teleportation. You just have to get there by believing it, knowing it, and then it happens.
Yes.
But it's that deep knowing, that's the hard part. Or it's the easy part, because you're already there. It's just believing that you're already there. And that's, long story.
And now I think I could clarify and hopefully shorten. It's that's sort of where I'm feeling, but just to, listening to you the last 30 seconds, I've got to the point now where I know I'm at that higher level, but I have to... I'm now realizing, hang on, I am, and that's where the belief and the knowing, it's all mixing up in together in like sentence word now. But I'm at that the next step, and that's how it sort of feels. And so by saying, being the particle and the wave, which sounds very dualistic at the same time, because you find balance between one and the other.
Well, it's the unity, it's the understanding. All right, so let's just think about this for a second. If you take a piece of wire, right, and you corrugate it, that means you make it go up and down and up and down and up and down and up and zigzag.
Yep, yep.
That's what we call a wave, right? Now, if you take that piece of wire and hold both ends and then spin it, what will you see? You'll see what looks like corpuscles, little blobs, sausages. You understand? That's particle.
Yeah.
Particle is wave plus spin.
Ah, okay, yep.
Okay?
Yep.
Wave plus spin. Wave is speed of light. Spin is speed of light. C is the speed of light. Wave times spin, i.e. the kinetic energy, is the mass of the particle times the speed of light as it moves forward and the speed of light as it spins, which is why E equals mc squared.
Ah.
Does that make sense?
Somewhere in my brain, yes.
Yeah. So basically, when you're dealing with waves and particles, they're both true. And they're both true because you're at one point, you're ignoring the spin. When you say it's a wave, it's not spinning. When it's a particle, it's spinning so fast it appears to be solid.
Is that connected to... everything's a wave unless we put our point of view on it, and then it becomes a particle, or is that out of whack? Or
that's
similar to that. Okay, cool. Yeah.
All right, because our consciousness is rotating. It's spinning at a frequency. It's like when you have a strobe light when you're looking at a car and you're getting the engine timing right. You have it's a little flash gun, and it flashes every time the top of the cylinder is reached. And and so if you can see where the little marking is, you can time it so that the thing flashes exactly at the point that the cylinder is firing, and that puts the timing exactly perfect. So that's the reason that you can see that, even though the thing's whizzing around so fast, is because you've got this pulse, this strobe light that's pulsing. So what your mind is doing, your mind is pulsing and flashing all the time, and it's flashing at a particular rate. And when you're sleeping, it's what we call alpha waves, which is between 8 to 14. That's one octave. And the next octave up is what we call awake. You know, and then the next octave up is like alert, and the next octave up is like this guy's fight and flight. You know, is some in their death. You know, is a life or death situation. You see,
yeah.
So what we're doing is when we perceive a reality, it's like our minds are spinning or vibrating at such a rate that we're able to freeze frame something that's happening on what appears to be another dimension. Does that make sense?
Yes, because if I'm a television, I can tune another channel, and I can tap into that vibration, and my consciousness can actually interact with it. Is that the right word? But am I close or am I way off?
Yeah, keep going.
Oh, okay. You start channeling. You fine tune that vibration so you can reach that vibration. And because we're multidimensional, we're not just one screen. We can be on 20 different channels at the same time.
You can have a few tabs open.
Oh, yes, exactly, yeah. That's one thing I've noticed in the last week and a half. My third eye started to channel surf, like there's 500 channels. So I know it's activating, but everything was just like blur, 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 and weird, weird, weird stuff, but fun.
Yeah, well, going back to what's been going on, I mean, for me, there's been a lot of information coming in. I've had a lot of pain in my guts, really. But it's like something's been opened up for me, and it's a new sensitivity, and it's just like, I suppose if you exposed yourself, if you've never been able to see all your life, and suddenly somebody takes off the bandages that have been over your face, because that's why you haven't been seeing, everything will be overwhelming at the beginning. And I think that we're currently dealing and coping with that overwhelmed stage, and things are coming back into a sense of focus, and like, this is that, and that is this, and this is. Give yourself time to understand the interaction of these new feelings with the world around you, because they're like tendrils, sensors that are telling you information about your environment that you didn't know before, that you weren't aware of before, but now you're becoming conscious of. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does, actually, because as you started that sentence, I basically got in my mind, I feel bigger. That's the simplest way of explaining Saturday to Sunday. On Sunday, I know and I feel, and that's probably where that calibration thing is, like learning all the new stuff that we've got, because we are bigger and we're more online.
Yeah, so you're more present.
Yes, that's a better way of saying it.
Present, yeah, okay, so here's a little thing. Let's get present. Let's see what happens when if we do this. Okay, so if everybody who's listening to this, you're able to sit in a comfortable position, and preferably take all the stress off your body, put both feet on the ground, take your shoes off if you're wearing shoes, if you can, just if you can, just take a deep breath and allow that breath to kind of flood through your body, right down from your feet to your toes. And then when you get down to your toes, sense in your toes, if you can, a kind of tingling sensation. What it is, what you're feeling for, is the movement of the blood through your body, and it comes through as a sort of tingling sensation, fine, thrilly, tingling, sparkly. If you can sense that in your big toe, on your left foot and on your right foot, try and feel them both at the same time. But if you can't feel them both at the same, just go to the left one and then to the right. So then go down all the toes and feel this tinglingness. This tinglingness is you. This is your presence here in your body. Now, expand this and then draw yourself back through your feet until you can feel the tinglingness in your feet and up through your physical body, up through your thighs, your calves, your thighs, your knees. Feel all of those parts of you tingling. Now, this is the opposite of what people are doing in hypnosis. This is the opposite. We're bringing you present into your body. Okay, up through your hips. Feel inside all your different organs. Feel your joints. Feel the pressure of gravity on the top of your hip joint as you sit. Feel this presence filling your belly. Feel all the organs in your belly. Sense it as a joyful, expansive, tingly, spangly, giggly kind of energy. As you breathe in deep, and as the more you breathe, the deeper you breathe in, the more this tingliness you can feel and enjoy. It's really nice. So we fill our chest with it and feel our heart joyfully pumping, all this lovely, sparkly, spingly stuff all around your body. Feel it travel down your arms. This is you. Occupy your body. Feel your arms. Feel the inside of your arms. Feel the inside of the elbow joint. Move up your forearms. Feel the inside of your hands, your fingers. You can feel them get hot now. Tingling, getting hot. This is your healing power. Now allow this presence to move up your neck into your headspace. And there, you're present. Here you are. Welcome. Welcome to the here and now. Nothing of the past, nothing of the future is affecting you. Nothing is pulling you towards a masculine or a feminine. Nothing is causing you to choose between matter and spirit. Here you are in the center of everything. Welcome to the present moment. So.
And everyone likes presents.
Everybody likes the presents.
Yes.
So there's a lovely little exercise that I got last week. So I hope everybody's feeling nice and tingly now, and you should be able to go and have a run. But yes, okay, Stardust, you can call in a little while. Let's just introduce our other caller, because you've been very quiet and very patient. So thank you very much. Area code 585. Hello, who is it? And where are you?
Hi. My name is Wind Woman, and I want to thank you so much for that quiet moment you shared with us. It was beautiful. I love your voice, JP. It's very calming and soothing to me. And I'm calling to see, you explained quite a bit about where we are at present with the energies around us. And that helped me to understand a little bit about my struggle right now, which is bringing my body back into harmony and balance. And I would love a ray reading from you to get a little more insight as to how I might help myself, to center myself.
Well, I can understand exactly why. You've got some of the most sensitive rays. You have Ray 1 Monad, Ray 2 Soul, and Ray 4 Personality. Okay? You know, I speak a lot about these, and you know, obviously, if somebody wants a, you know, kind of longer, more private conversation, I'm very happy to. As far as you are concerned, you are experiencing the suffering of the entire planet, and that's one of the things that you're experiencing, all going on inside you. And in that way, you can be empowered, because whatever you fix within you, whatever you are able to harmonize, and this is the key to your reality, is harmonization. Okay?
Yeah.
If you can harmonize those things within you, that's your responsibility. So there are things that you may feel are outside of you that you can't change. But that's you lying to yourself, or that's part of you not telling you the truth. You do it by working on it inside you, by working on your traumas and your inner child work and everything like that. Does that make sense to you?
Yes, it does.
And then it becomes much less of a responsibility, because it's personal to you. And it doesn't become so much the, I'm doing this for the planet. You know, you don't have to get into any of those trips. You do it for you. Because only through being authentic does that expand out and you become radioactive. We all become radioactive in a spiritual sense, as I was saying to Monty earlier. That we express these particles, these things that we say come out of us. We don't always know what exactly we meant when we chose those particular words, or when those particular words came to our mouths, as they most often do. And that is the spirit working through us in our authenticity, which is responding with honesty to what's happening in front of you, rather than trying to be nice or people-pleasing. You know, it's beyond that. There's no time for people-pleasing anymore. It's time to, you know, put the rubber gloves on and get clearing up this mess. Does that make sense?
Yes, it does. Yes. Thank you very much. Namaste.
Namaste to you. And yes, if you're interested in hearing more about the 1-2-4 package, you can come to my archives on everbeyondradio.com. You click the archives button, and you can actually type into the thing. I think you can. Yeah, type in 1-2-4 or 1-2-4. That's the way to write it in. And you'll hear recordings of shows where I've done stuff like this, and I've spoken about 1-2-4s at a greater length. But right now, I think the main message for you is more or less what I've just said, which is that the time has come no longer to be nicey-nicey. Yeah? You can't afford it. We cannot afford people not being called on their stuff. And, you know, you're probably one of the meekest people that you know. But you really have a tiger inside you that is just needing to express itself. Do you sing?
I don't.
Do you paint?
I wouldn't like.
Do you paint?
I do. I am an artist, yeah.
Use color, yeah.
Yes. I love color.
Expand your art. Expand it in the way that it gives you permission in some way to do something you've never done before. I don't know what it is, but it's like you've got to go beyond. It's always with the one, The one is the path cutter, like I was saying before. So you are going to be doing something that nobody has done before. Or at least not in this round. I mean, for instance, you might take... you might have a dream that you're in Lemuria, and you saw designs in Lemuria, and you saw color combinations, and you thought, oh, hey, we don't see that these days. Let's use this in my next work. Actually, do you deal with clothing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that may be more like what the whole thing. All right, okay. So here's some clothing things. There are frequencies, specific frequencies, which express a specific colors. You're aware of that?
Yes, I'm aware of the effects of color. Yeah.
Okay, so you understand that color and frequency, i.e. music and tone and stuff like that, and geometric form are connected?
Yes. I'm aware of that.
Okay, and you're aware of what we call the law of correspondences?
I'm aware of it, but I don't know very much about it.
What it means is that if there are seven of one and seven of this and seven of that, that there is a direct one-to-one correspondence. So if you've got seven rays that have these seven qualities and you've got seven colors, then there will be a match. And if you've got seven chakras, and you've got seven notes of the scale, are you following me? All of them have a connection with each other. So, for instance, you hear about 432 music. Yeah, have you heard about this?
I'm not sure. I'm not certain.
Okay. I'll briefly outline it in that in the last 60, 70 years, our music has been tweaked a bit to make us just a little bit more nervous, a little bit more anxious. And it's a kind of propaganda thing that has been happening. But there is a kind of natural toning, like a traditional toning that was happening beforehand, which is more connected with our bodies. And in fact, it's connected with Pythagoras and the natural laws of music and beauty and harmony and all this stuff. So the difference when you express that as color is very subtle. But if you can find the color expression of a 432 scale as opposed to a 440 scale, then your colors will be that much more meaningful. I don't know if you understand what that means. Some people in the listening audience will understand what that means. And you might need to listen to the archive of this show a couple of times. But that might be a potential direction that you could move beyond just art, just making pictures. You make pictures that have such meaning that people heal when they see them. Experience the colors.
Oh my gosh, that would be just lovely.
It sounds like just by changing the vibration of the color, it actually interacts with people more.
Yes.
And that's like 440, I think, came in during World War II. The 432 is actually the natural resonance, and that's what classical music was all tuned to. And it's not as loud, but it actually vibrates in the body more. And on YouTube, there's Pink Floyd albums, or there's bands that actually have been transposed from the 440 into the 432. And it seems slightly less in volume, but you just feel it more in your chest and everything else like that. My question is, my guitar tuner doesn't go down to 432. I've gone to 444. Unless you want to change subject, but 444, is that... That's an angel number. I think that's part of that resonance, but I'm just wondering how
different
is it?
To be honest, I think the 444 might just be, oh, those are nice numbers, as opposed, because I've kind of experimented with some of these. In fact, I'd like to share something with you. The other day, I was sitting outside... And like I said, I've had some stomach problems, and I was hurting. So I thought, right, okay, let's get a nice note, and tune my guitar to that note. So I basically... So what I did, as I tuned my my round back, and I was sitting there, I was sitting in my garden, and I got a rooster. I got three chickens and a rooster, and the rooster went. I was thinking, that's what, yeah. And I was just kind of just playing these, and everything just seemed perfectly in tune and in harmony. So I hope you all enjoyed the resonance of those notes.
And you feel it in the chest.
Yes. Yes. It should be, for me, it's in the area of the liver, so it's like the bottom of the rib cage.
Mine was in the center of my heart.
Ah.
Mm. Yeah, the same. So, obviously, we went past the healing and just tapped into your God source, JP.
Yeah.
See, it's all about that fine tuning, you know?
That's right. That's right. Oh, yes. There we go. Some Lucid Guns N' Roses, November Rain, 432. Yes, I've actually I went, because you can go to YouTube. You just type in 432, right? Easy to remember because they're consecutive and they start at four and end in two. If you type in 432 and your favorite album, somebody has repitched it. I've personally got a copy of Dark Side of the Moon, being the album that I wore out when I was a teenager, twice, you know, wore out the vinyl record twice. Oh, God, I think I need a new one. I'm waiting for the CD. Oh, when CDs come, music will be perfect.
Fascinating.
Yeah, really. You know what I'm saying? It wasn't really, you know. They promised you could put... Go on.
Tell you what I've been drawn to, the music of the Doobie Brothers from a 1983 concert in California is on YouTube, and when I need to feel energized, I will go to that music, and it's very uplifting for me. I don't know if you're familiar with them at all.
The Doobie Brothers. Oh, yeah. Listen to the music. Yeah, that's about the same sort of time, yeah.
Yeah. And then the other music that I love is flute playing, Native American music. I guess I appreciate and enjoy that for a meditative listening.
When you do your journeys. And this is what it's all about, because the journey is the journey from the head to the heart.
Yes, I know. I've been on it many years.
Many lifetimes. Actually, both of you, you know, it's very apparent. Well, I mean, to me it's apparent because you've got these rays. These particular numbers tell me that you've been on the spiritual path for lifetimes. You don't get that just kind of as being an ordinary Joe, you know. So you both of you have worked out some stuff. Now the thing is, on your 1-2-4, very feminine, very very feminine. I don't know, we were talking about masculine and feminine on the Strange Universe just a little while ago, but the fourth ray can be very very feminine, and in some ways ending up just a little bit too submissive. And that's not really the true nature of the fourth ray. The fourth ray is harmony through conflict. And sometimes it's harmony at all costs. But at those times, you're giving something of yourself up. And now is not the time to be giving things up. Now is the time, particularly for women, to be picking up the stick. Let's get that stick in your hand and start hitting things with it, because this is the time of reharmonization. So whatever it takes for you to reharmonize your situation in whatever moment you find yourself in, that's what you have to do. And the choices will be available to you. You'll be aware of what you have to do. And maybe these days it might just be really very clear. It may not have been clear in the past. You know, there's all these social mores and taboos, but over the last few years, most of us have been stripping those off. What really is important? Is money really important? Is status really important? Is politics important? You know, we're taking all of those things off. And what is important? What does it come down to? How much are you loving?
Love. That's the important thing.
I've also done a lot of culling over the last couple of years as well, which would be part of the process of, well, I don't need this anymore, and I got rid of it. So it could be expressed through the physical in that sense.
Absolutely. Here's the thing, all right? Let me share my journey with you, okay? So
it is your show.
It is my show, so yeah, exactly. So, but here's the thing. Culling is something that, you know, I've been doing kind of live on air. A couple of years ago, I was really sick. And after that, I got messages from my spirit guides that said, oh, you really need to think about going vegan. And I went ballistic to them. You know, I was like, you're joking. I'll never give up my sausages. and now it almost seems kind of farcical that, you know, I spend many, many months between eating any flesh of any kind. In terms of, I have a little bit of fish. That's not any flesh of any kind. That is flesh of some kind. Yeah. So, but in terms of like things with legs, don't eat things with legs much anymore.
Yeah. The next step is nothing with a face. So yeah. I can see that. Yeah, things legs with, first, and yeah.
That's right. So nothing with legs, then nothing with the body, then nothing with a face. And I had this mantra, which is meat, wheat, sweet. And using that mantra has helped me move from somebody with a very, very sluggish system and very latent in my emotional reaction. What I mean by latent is like I'll be an arsehole and it'll only be 6 weeks later that I'll discover that I was an arsehole, you see. That's what latency is the 6 week gap. And then the latency gets smaller and smaller and smaller until it becomes real time. And that's a progress, you know, that's spiritual progress. Anyway, meanwhile, and psychological progress. But what I've also discovered, the cull, the hardest thing, the last thing that got culled, and, you know, people, I'm sorry, I'm really, really sorry, is sugar and yeast and bread and beer. These are the last things to go. Yes, beer. Sorry.
All types of beer, or can you get like a mead from Scandinavia or something?
All the fermentation is produced by a yeast-like object. This yeast forms colonies in your body if you're attacked by, for instance, gluten. Gluten just happens to be in bread, in the wheat, that was given to us by these badass gods. Ra, Marduk, you know, these guys invaded Egypt and gave everybody this lovely food. Yummy. You know, and I'm going to use my word. I've got a special word for this because it has a consciousness. This consciousness, and I want to bring you all. Let's do another meditation, ladies and gentlemen. Picture, you're standing in front of a nice warm oven. You open the oven door, you have gloves in your hand, oven gloves, that are able to resist the heat, okay? You open the oven door, you are excited, the bread is ready. It's golden crust sitting atop, a soft, moist, warm center. Yes, your mouth is watering, I know. There are thousands of mouths watering all over the world thinking about this. There is one thing that your body is saying to you right now.
your body is saying, I want to eat that loaf, and I want to go, nung, 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 nung. I call it the nung. The nung is the consciousness of the being that now lives inside of you as a kind of ancient form of Morgellons. It's formed networks and fibers in your body, as mushrooms do. They have their consciousness, and their consciousness says, I want more bread. I want more beer. So, my brothers and sisters, this is what it's all about. We have to confront this little nung being and say, I'm sorry, my friend, but no more. You're making me ill, and I'm going to starve the fuck out, starve the freak out of you. That's been my path, and it's really, really difficult because that creature makes it really, really hard for you if it doesn't get fed. Do you know what I'm saying, guys? Gals?
Yes, I do, because my mum is allergic to gluten now. She's in her 60s. I can't remember my age. Anyway, I always thought that she ate too much, but from hearing that explains why, and if it's... Is it passed down genetically, or did I get it from my mum, or did I get it from the diet that I was given from birth?
It's everywhere. It's in our diet.
Yeah, I'm just wondering if it gets transferred genetically. Diet-wise, yes. I try to cut down on meat, and try and find anything without meat here in Australia is kind of weird and odd, because we all like barbecues and stuff, but going for that next thing of moving on to getting gluten-free and vegan and all that type of stuff, that's miles away from just trying to find a vegetarian burger anywhere.
Well, that's the thing, you know, I don't go anywhere. I stay at home, I cook my own food. I don't go anywhere. I'm totally socially, what's the word? Not inept. I'm quite, you know, I'm good in the crowd. No, you know, I'm good with friends. And but just for the moment, I'm kind of keeping myself away. I'm sort of living in a cave kind of situation. But like I said at the beginning, I couldn't give up my sausages. But now I'm. And here's the thing: it's not about life or death. It's not about killing creatures. That's not what it's about. It's almost like a kind of political statement about the industry of it. Because when my guide said, you must stop eating death, they didn't mean you have to stop eating, dead bodies, but you have to stop eating the products of the death industry.
Yeah.
The death eaters. I'm sorry, was it Wind Feather, your name?
Wind Woman.
Wind Woman. Would you like to comment? I realised that you didn't get a chance to comment after I said that.
Oh, I agree with you. I'd heard you speak about the yeast, and I began to make my own breads, banana bread and different kinds of bread without yeast. So I listen to that part. It's harder for me to give up the sugar. I rather like the sugar. But I've eased up on it, and it's probably going to go the same way as the yeast. So I'm in agreement. My body feels better without those components, and the sugar will probably be the last thing to go.
It is, and it's, you know, don't force it. I have to say, just don't force it. It will come, and there'll be a time when the sugar will make you ill. You will notice that the sugar makes you ill. And that's when you can easily give something up if you notice it makes you ill. You can easily give something up if you realize that it's contradicting your principles.
Yeah,
you know?
Yeah. Right.
And so it you know, when you get things in perspective, that instead of having the consciousness of a fungal growth, you rise up to a level of a human consciousness. And then what that does is, you see, the thing is, the human consciousness is not the best thing. Is not to try and get rid of anything. It's to learn to live with it, to integrate it, but to keep it in its place. You know, when you have a stately home, you don't let the guy who does the cleaning answer the door. You have a nice man who's nicely dressed, who speaks well, or a maid. You know what I mean. Everybody has their appropriate place.
Yes, I have learned over the years to let go of what no longer serves a higher purpose, a good purpose in my life. So it's been a process of letting go for many years, and this is just part of that. But you've helped me to clarify it, and I'm very grateful, and thank you so much.
You're very welcome, Whitman. Very nice for you to call in, and thank you for calling into the show and giving us some of your nice energy, because it's a nice energy, isn't it, Monty?
Yes, it is, actually. That's why I'm not interrupting. It's like, keep going.
Speak to us, because encoded in your voice is the divine feminine matrix, you know? So you could just read a telephone book or something like that. added to your own personal experience, that makes a quite interesting expression. That's one of the reasons, you know, you're here to bring harmony. And sometimes harmony does not appear to be harmonic. You ever listen to Erik Satie, for instance?
No, I have not.
He has two tunes, one called Gymnopédie and another one called Gnossiens. He was a French 1890s of a composer. And his music is very simple, played on a piano. It's not like loads of notes, but the notes are held in a kind of poise. And the harmony is exquisite. I might actually play a bit at the top of the hour after the break. I'll come in with some Erik Satie for everybody.
Oh, lovely.
And we'll get an interesting little connection now. Whereabouts are you living, Wind Woman?
I live in New York.
New York. You're an artist who lives in New York. Wow.
Well, it's Western New York, not New York City. New York, Western New York. In a more rural setting.
Okay, is that what they call upstate New York?
Well, I think upstate really refers to the Adirondack Mountains area, which would be directly north of New York City. It would be a northwest. I'm in the furthest part of the state. Not to Buffalo, but maybe 100 miles from Buffalo.
Buffalo. Buffalo, full stop. Excellent. So, but it sounds like, a hilly area? Is it flat? What's the sort of terrain there?
It's about 700 feet above sea level. In this particular strip where I live is flat, but the rest of the state is gentle hills, I would say.
Excellent. Excellent. I'm getting something from the chat room from Celex can eat sourdough. There's all sorts of other cultures that you can have that don't hurt you. You know, yeast is, like I was saying, yeast was given to us by Marduk. It was given to us by the badass Egyptian gods, you know, the guys who don't like humans, who treat them like slaves and all that stuff. And so it's a method of control, and yet here we are. You know, oh, give us this day our daily bread. Yeah, great idea.
How did you discover that?
It's been a personal journey, and I've just been linking all the things together because, you know, we've got all these different dots, these particles, all right? Let's put the particles and arrange them into a wave, right? So there's a lot of people who are diagnosed as suffering from cancer, right? The big C, okay? Mm-hmm. Now, there is other information that if you treat cancer with alkalinity, then it kind of reduces and goes away. And in fact, if you do the same with candida, this other connection, that it also goes away if you alkalize it. And so I thought, is that because they're the same thing? And then I thought, candida, cancer, you know, what's, you know, candy, candida, cancer, right? Candy feeds candida, doesn't it? Sugar feeds candida. It turns it into alcohol, toxic alcohol, and carbon dioxide, none of which are good for our blood. Okay? You know? We appreciate it when it's done outside of our body with the juices of something else. But when it's happening inside our body, we feel terrible. T-E-ribble. You know, anybody who's suffered from any of these conditions will know it is, you know, it's just like we're being poisoned from the inside instead of fed. So, see me on the other side. I'll have some sati ready. Love that bit. So yes, Eric Satie, Nocien number 3. There's a bit of education for you. 125 years old this year. I mean, the music is kind of timeless and dimensionless. It seems to, it's not the same as regular music. It's a very strange kind of but it's a beautiful experience for me. I used to have a girlfriend who played piano, and she would sometimes just play these things. And because she was learning, she would play them very slowly. And it's just so lovely to hear somebody play piano and play these things. I just remember sitting in the bath listening to this. Just gorgeous. Yes, gorgeous. So, welcome back to, what is it? What the hell? Yes, Journeys with JP on Revolution Radio, on Wolf Spirit Radio, on Ever Beyond Radio. .com, indeed. That's true. Hang on a second. They're probably wondering where I am. Yes. Yes, indeed.
Indeed, yes. If you're listening on TNSR and Scottish Sovereigns on the Land, and if anybody's actually listening on those streams, welcome. Welcome to Journeys. I've just connected the streams, and they're all there. So, good afternoon. Oh my God, Tremjar, what are you thinking, boy? What are you thinking? Anyway, it's good to have the fine conversation in the chat room there. It's really good to see it all going on. Let me just check on the War Spirits there. Pick up the skillet. Oh, excellent. So, yeah, I'm just checking on the War Spirit chat room here. How is everybody? Good to see you all. There we go. Goody good, goody good. So, yeah. So, am I still on air with Monty Dean?
Yes, you are.
And, yeah.
That music was quite cool. It reminded me of the music in Battlestar Galactica Season 4, where Starbuck's father slash ghost angel type thing comes back. Very similar sort of jangly guitar, jangly piano. It reminded me. It didn't sound the same, but it reminded me.
Yeah, I mean, your piano piece in the film would have been based on some... It's otherworldly. It's got a kind of ghostly character to it, yeah.
Yeah. In Battlestar, the main sort of melody was All Along the Watchtower, the Jimi Hendrix version of it. So it was a mixture of all both. But, it is fascinating to hear someone just... Because the piano is designed to be a full band because you've got your left hand and your right hand, so you can do the melody and the rhythm. And so that's why it was designed. Everyone had a piano.
Exactly. So it's a... it's a full, and you know, the reason it's called piano is because it says piano forte, which means it can go loud and it can go soft. You know, it can go loud and it can go soft. Get it around the right way. It got shortened to piano, but you know, very few things had a kind of volume control in the old days. You know, it's like stand over there, would you? No, a bit further, just a bit.
Yes.
Oh, sorry, Rodney. Can someone go and get Rodney? yeah, that's the only, the primitive volume control is just go over where? Go over there. Anyway, so back in 1890 was quite a year for inventions and things. You know, in like between 1940 and 1980, like loads of things that we use today were invented. It's just a
1840 to 1890, you mean? You said 19. You said 1940 to 1980, which I'll believe still.
No, no.
But in the 18... Yeah.
Yeah, 1840 to 1890. Sorry, did I say 19? Anyway.
I use the example with the automobile. It's still 19th century technology, how it moves. So I totally understand where you're coming from.
Exactly. It's just mechanical, you know. And by now... By 2015, we should be zipping around in little cylindrical zippers, like that thing on your avatar. They should be common. They should be ubiquitous. They should be everywhere. Things like that. Things that don't need roads. You know, the reason that we... wouldn't it be funny if we discovered that ancient civilizations didn't have wheels? They just went straight from grunt to anti-gravity vehicles, or maybe they just arrived here with anti-gravity vehicles, that's more likely, and didn't need roads, and didn't need this, because the way they got around, they used 4D portals, and or they would walk, or they would use anti-gravity, Vimana-type technology.
That's come out in just the everyday technology of, you would have heard of a maglift train where it sits on a magnetic field and it can travel up to 400 miles an hour.
Yes, indeed. They take quite a lot of punch, though.
Yes. And, well, also in Sands of Time by Dr. Morton, you've got the blue and the red line, which apparently travels up to 700 kilometres an hour, and it's all made out of porcelain, and it's all air compressed and all that type of stuff. Imagine if we could all actually travel like that. You wouldn't have all these plane crashes, for starters.
Exactly. See, the thing is, the stuff is there. It's all there. It's just that we can't use it. That's all.
Yeah.
It's all there.
And, you know, it's like trying to bust into some club that you're not part of. And I'm sure it can get quite frustrating at times, but I think one day it will be made available to us. And that one day, yes, is not very far away. And also, not very far away is our equivalent rise of consciousness to be able to deal with it. So, go ahead, Monty.
Well, no, that makes sense as well. I've forgotten what I was going to say now.
I'm sorry.
No, that's all right. I do that as well. So I stay in the now, and the memory is like, hey, you're on your own. So it's quite fascinating. What were we talking about? I'm stuck on
Well, you're talking about the sands of time.
I remember now. I'm sure you'll agree with this. If you gave a human or a family a Tesla free energy device and a replicator from Star Trek, you'll notice that a lot of things would change, because if you've got power and food, you don't really need anything else. Then we get out of the survival mode and we can actually do what we're supposed to do.
Exactly. I mean, what we call nowadays a 3D printer will very soon become a replicator. Very soon, it will be able to build molecule by molecule. And we're already getting down to that kind of nano level. And we've got nano powders. You know, imagine if we could take something that was made of nano, you know, that could take nanocarbon and print any carbon form with it. You could make food, you could make fuel, you could make anything, couldn't you? That would be a replicator. It would create carbon-based life. Or maybe
the joke I have about 3D printers is things to do. Number one, get a 3D printer. Number two, print a 3D printer. Number three, return the 3D printer. So yeah, we're getting to that point. Because aren't they doing? They're going to they started to, or they're trying to recreate organs in the 3D printer.
I'd like a Hammond.
Yeah, maybe that, or even body parts as well.
Well, now, just print me an extension, will you? Well, anyway.
Moving on.
Hey, I want my foreskin back. Yeah. Anyway, so there you go. There'll be a thought. You know, could
If you don't want to be a Hebrew, come down to JP's. Anyway.
That's right. We'll stitch it back on for you.
Have it to you afterwards.
And like the police, we'll keep the peace. Anyway, meanwhile, moving swiftly on. Oh, hang on. No, I didn't do that because I'm in the chat room. Oh, well, never mind. I don't know. Moving swiftly on. So we were talking about... you've read The Signs of Time.
Twice. I even got the audio book so I could hear Sean actually put more... You know, when you hear the writer read the book, you can hear the inflections and how it's sort of portrayed. Mm-hmm. When you have, say, if you or I did it, it wouldn't be exactly the same how Sean wrote it, because we're doing an adaptation of it. So, yes, short version, yes, I have. Good. I'm waiting for the second book and or the TV series.
Well, have I got some interesting news for you?
Oh, cool. Just tell me now. No one's listening.
No one's listening, right? But I think I know who Simon Ratterman is.
Interesting.
Because, all right, so here's the thing. I did an audiobook last week. And the book is called Die Glocke, which is The Bell, by Kelsey Bowman. And I saw it a few months ago, and I bought it for my own birthday. And I didn't have a chance to read it from my birthday, because I live a busy life. And what happened is, so last week I got the impetus, and I thought, right, okay, I'm going to read it. So I read it into the radio. And recorded it, and it's now in a sort of zip file. It's not brilliant, I have to say. This is only the second book that I've read, read out, and my characterization is, I don't know.
Well,
you know, I try to do these German accents. I try to do, because I got this. Look, for God's sake, to read this book out, I had to be the Vril Damen. I had to be the Hans Kammler, our Übergriffenführer. Mm-hmm. And I think I have a revelation about him as well. I have to be Martin Bormann and General Sporenberg and Adolf Hitler, you know.
Oh, that would have been interesting.
Yeah, so you hear me do all those voices in this book, and you can download it for free from my website. It's called Deglock, D-I-E-G-L-O-C-K-E, and it's under JP Reads for you in my archive page. And you can also go get it from the Wolf Spirit Radio in parts. You can download the different parts of it. And I tell you, it's a really, really fascinating book. And if you read The Sands of Time, you got to read this. You got to know this. This is the other side. This is what the Sands of Time were competing against. This is what this is where Kamles come from. This is where NASA comes from. There's a guy who worked in NASA from the paperclip. He was part of the project. He was the only remaining member of the project.
Oh yeah.
Because Dr. What's his name? Oh God. Schoenberg, not Schoenberg. I said it. Now all I can think of, Sausage Burger. Oh God. Dr. Sausage Burger, the famous Nazi spy.
Said the vegan, yeah.
Yeah. Exactly.
It's all working out well. Now please welcome Professor Sausage Burger. Damn it!
Damn it, I'm hungry. No, what was his name? Sporenberg. General Sporenberg, right? General Sausage Burger. He's going to be the cartoon character of him. Anyway, General Sporenberger is basically the Nazi hitman. He's Hitler's hitman. When they want a project kind of closed, they don't mess about, the Nazis. They like to kind of wipe everything out, including their own. They're totally ruthless that way. You know, as we all know, that Nazis will schmooze up to you, get all the information out you, and very coldly coldly shoot you and bury your body without blinking an eyelid. And so there's quite a bit of that going on. But he does meet his comeuppance in the end, Sporenberg. It's always good to know that the guy. So, 575, is that our friend Wind Lady again?
Hey, JP, it's Robe.
Robe, from New Mexico.
Yes, hello, JP, hello, Monty.
Greetings.
Hello, Robe, how are you?
It's nice to hear you guys. This is an excellent journey. What a nice time we're having this evening.
All right. Somebody's saying the call-in line is not answering. Well, try three. How did you come in, Rob?
Rob came in just Studio B with his, you know, I guess I got a little special star by my number because I say good things, I guess.
All right. 310-421-4053, Stardust Man, if you want to come in. 310-421-4053, unless you're in Britain. Maybe my Skype number's gone funny. I don't know.
JP, I have something on my mind I wanted to share with you.
Unload yourself, my friend. Unload yourself.
Thank you so much, because I just really enjoy the conversation. I'm fascinated by a tree. I'm fascinated by a tree which is called a Bristol Cone Pine. And the Bristol Cone Pine is called the Prometheus. I'm fascinated with this tree. I know it has an old soul. It's here special. But I know you too, JP, have a connection with Prometheus.
Yes, I do. Fascinating. So, where is this particular bristle pine?
Yeah, they have a certain section of them are in Wisconsin, but there's one of the oldest ones on the earth, I believe, is in Nevada.
Interesting.
And yeah, the Prometheus. It's something of an old soul. It's here to do beautiful things and help people and just do what it needs to do. And that's kind of like you, JP. You're on the right path. We really appreciate you.
Well, you know, I'm just trying to, I think, make the wave into a particle, you know, or turn the particle into a wave or whatever. be the transferring point between the two, so that people get a fluid understanding of what's going on in the world and around them. So thank you very much.
You let people share their journeys, and I just want to appreciate you and, you know, letting us all share our journeys. And it's nice to hear Monty. Oh, Monty, you gotta love the Monty Dean.
Well, I've been trying to, and it's getting better each day, so thank you.
So, yeah, from the heart is truly, you know, what I felt from this conversation and what you've been talking about with these nice call-in guests and sincerity and getting the balance, finding the balance between the mind and the heart and just having intent be pure and carrying on the vibration of harmony, JP. That's the tone in your voice. You have a cadence that projects a tone of, you're almost like you're the organic 432. It's really neat.
You know, it's a very interesting thing because I've done sound healing for people sometimes, and when I measure people's voice, because the way it works is you take a spectral analysis of somebody's voice. You get what's called a voice print, a graph of where the frequencies are. And you can see where people's frequencies are missing or whether they're in stress. They may be too much. You know, they may have a kind of an edge to their voice. You know, there's a frequency coming through there there's an energy, you know what I mean? So, basically, if there's something like that, what you do is you apply the reciprocal, which is the tritone, the flattened fifth interval. Basically, it's like kind of anti-sound thing. You give the energy that is the opposite, and that calms it down. Or if somebody has frequencies missing, then you give the frequency that's missing, and that tops it back up again. It's like kind of kickstarts that frequency, and these are all brainwave frequencies, and they are blocked as a result of traumas. So by working on the traumas, we can, supplying the frequency that those traumas need to heal, we can bring something back into a balance. Is that making sense?
So the trauma is very, you know, it's strong on people, but we're lifting this veil. And also there's the nungs, you know, the nungs that affect our telomeres. I mean, we're being blocked. I'm really glad that you bring up this point, JP, because you're onto some research that is 100% true. You know, the nungs, the wheat that came from Marduk, that's not good for us.
Yep.
And we need to clear that out. And I just like the way you're helping people call in, and Monty and myself, and maybe you can even help Sean a little bit. So you're on the path, JP, and we're just trying to get everyone cleared out and get into a higher consciousness.
Thank you very much. I just want to say something about that. People aren't getting the bell is die Glocke in German, die Bell, this is where we get the name clock. You know, a clock is a thing with a bell, and that's why we call something a clock, or, you know, a timepiece, because of the original German Teutonic word for clock. In the same way that the word kick is the German word for church, which is also the word kirkel, circle, you know. So a church is a circle. That makes sense as well, doesn't it? Anyway, meanwhile, let's get away from...
Yeah, that's just English, and I speak Australian, so let's not even start trying to bridge that void.
It's easy to speak Australian. All you have to do is clench your back teeth together, and it just sounds like you're talking Australian, don't you?
I'm JP. Frequencies for a better life.
To speak Australian, you basically use your nasal cavity, because we have a lot of flies. So clenching the back teeth still keeps the mouth closed.
Yeah.
And that's how you get that strange high-end nasal, oh, it's too hot, I'm going to lay down now.
It's too hot, I'm going to lay down now.
Yeah. Let's go take a tour to Alice Springs.
Yeah. Look, can I just say, Sean David Morton's Australian accent is completely terrible, and that's all I'm going to say.
All I'm going to say is all of Sean David Morton's accents are terrible, and I'm going to say that to his face.
and JP, you live in that beautiful country of Scotland, and you would have heard of Rolf Harris. And so when Sean says, oh, tie your kangaroo down sport, every Australian inches now.
No, mate.
You're not tying anything down around here. Nah. Put the didgeridoo down and walk away.
Have you heard the fourth verse of that song?
Check
it out. Go pick up the lyrics. Go Google the lyrics of Tie Me Kangaroo Down Sport by Rolf Harris. And something like, I can't remember what it is exactly in the fourth verse, but I remember, Jesus, the fourth verse, you shouldn't listen to the fourth verse. Because let me just explain to our American audience who don't quite get who Rolf Harris is. Rolf Harris is a television personality, always soft and fluffy. He's from Australia. He's got a lovely, soft, fluffy voice. He's very good to pets. You know, he goes to pet hospital, and all the pets are, you know, we're going to look at this little fella and see how we're to save this little rabbit who's been run over. He's only got three legs left, and he's got one eye, but we're going to try and save him. You know, so he was all like, all this stuff. And now he turns out to be part of this whole BBC paedophilia scandal, and you know he's used to grope up girls and all this stuff. But I'm not, you know, it's like Rolf is like one of these loved childhood characters, right? Jimmy Savile, everybody felt he's definitely weird, you know, about something, and he's like, oh no, I don't do women, no. I don't have girlfriends. No. Yeah. It turns out he preferred dead bodies and things and people tied up and strapped down, you know, rather than anybody who would actually love him. Meanwhile, still, so we've got all this kind of weird celebrity scandal thing going on in Britain that is just peeling up this whole layer of nastiness under the formica. It's really, really horrible. Exactly. The Tie Me Kangaroo Down Sport. Not exactly PC these days, indeed.
No, I'm the deleted verse. I'm sorry, what?
There it is.
Yes. ABO, which is short for Aboriginal. And Australians like to...
It's the N-word. Things. It's the Australian N-word, people.
Yeah, because it's been used that way, and like also in Australia during World War II, we fought Nippon, which is Japan, and so we were always fighting the Nips. Yeah. Now it's gone from there that anyone from Asia in Australia is called Nips, and it's turned into a derogatory term because they're not from Japan.
Yeah.
So isn't it great how we're human? So. I'm glad this is going to end, because I'd like to see what everyone else has thought about this journey that we've been going on.
Thank you very much to my Australian listeners. The Australian posse, because there he is, Rolf Harris, who was a loved UK figure in my childhood and growing up, and like, you know, he was just supposed to be like everybody's favourite uncle, and you know, turns out he's an old perv like everybody's favourite uncle, so it turns out that way. Oh, well, stuff happens. We grow up.
A little bit of the Bill Cosby gene.
Yeah, that sort of thing. I don't know. Bill Cosby, he's mild by this. You know, compared with Jimmy Savile, compared with Jimmy Savile, no one compares. I mean, I've been doing research that the things are far worse. You know, that Jimmy Savile not only was like what they call a kiddie fiddler, you know, somebody who liked young girls down to children. But he was also a necrophiliac. He was also a Satanist in league with the biggest, fattest politician of the age. I'm not kidding. His name was Cyril Smith. You can Google him. He is an unbelievably huge person. If anybody remembers The Life, the Meaning of Life by Monty Python, there was a character called Mr. Creosote. Well, you know, he was big, right?
and he ate a lot of stuff. He was like an example of greed. But Cyril Smith was bigger than Mr. Creosote, I think. check it out. Somebody posted this, what Cyril Smith looks like, in the chat room. You can check it out.
Bring over the piss boy.
and he and Jimmy Savile used to go around and murder, and you know, they just went on a kind of killing spree, but knew they were protected because they had the police in their hands. You know, he was, one was a local politician, the other one was a local, you know, basically a gangster. But he turns out that Jimmy Savile was a bloodline. You know, he's related to all these royals, so he's like a royal bastard. And he was a right royal bastard. He did everything. Everything. And people were in fear of him for 80 years, even until the day he died. And it's only now that people are kind of coming out of the rocks behind. You know, is he dead? Is he really dead? Because he had so many people in terror. He had more campaigns. I mean, I don't know how many it is now. And again, somebody could Google how many harassment complaints against Jimmy Savile have been submitted to the police since his death. But I remember in the first, like, 3 months, there was like 400 people came forth. Like, the police have never had anything like this. He was just like, almost, he would have had to have raped someone or killed someone every day, really, to kind of keep up with the amount of complaints that are coming out. He ruled the whole celebrity group for over 50 years.
Sounds a little reincarnated Genghis Khan-ish.
Yeah, and if you look at his eyes, you know, just Google Jimmy Savile. There we go, Cyril Smith there. Cyril Smith and Jimmy's. I wonder if there's a picture of them together. Let me just see if I can. Let's see if I can. I can beat Cortex to his game. Oh,
actually, I've got a question. How with children entertainers? That's basically, you know, famous children entertainers that people have loved for decades and sent them love and energy. How can we or people heal the trauma of going through that, of that whole the being deceived? That's the short version of it, I guess.
That's a very good question. That's a very, very good question. How do we heal the trauma of... Right, I've just pasted Cyril Smith and Jimmy Savile together in a paper. This is my ongoing research. You know, first of all, I had to find out, A, what was going on. Now I got to find out, how do we fix it? You know, now we find out that there's a lot to do with the Nazis. A lot to do with the Terran space time, but also the bringing in of some deeply evil characters, and how do we round them up, and how do we deal with them, and mainly how do we stop these people from continually abusing the human race? And
those are some crazy ones. They're beyond the Nungs.
Yeah,
I mean, that's some deep emotional trauma.
Yeah. And they're almost not people, you know. They're almost all of Nung, if you like. I mean, look at Cyril Smith there. You know, how much bread has he had? How much? What does he create? You know, Jimmy Savile was an intensely angry man, and he hid it all in a sort of guise of eccentricity and weirdness, and you know, sort of Dadaist madness, but. He was, if you look at his eyes, you know, it's just like, I can't actually look at his eyes anymore. It's very disturbing to look at his eyes.
If we could get him into some warm water and some 432 vibration and being, you know, surrounded by people that, you know, say that we care about him, you know, that's one step, but to get them in that place wouldn't be easy.
No.
I think before that actually happens, you will have a group of people pointing and laughing. Because that's one way we can fight back is, you know, if a politician's making a speech, if half the crowd just stands up, points and laughs, That takes away their power quite well. And you're not doing, and you're just basically laughing. And laughter's infectious. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. So that's a better way of revenge, is just pointing and laughing.
Mm-hmm.
Not for everything, but for something, for some certain things.
The shunning. The shunning is what needs to happen, you know. But the first thing is, you know, we need to get these people away from their thugs. You know, basically, these people have thugs. Well, maybe they're all going to run away into their underground bases in the next couple of weeks. And they'll lock themselves away for years, and we just build a civilization without them. Wouldn't that be nice?
Well, actually, that is the question. If they all go underground and nothing happens, and people like us point out where they are and they put rocks in front of the doors, they've just contained themselves and we can move on with our lives now. So it'd be interesting to see, you know, in 20 years' time when they come out and they're all more of them. So, yeah, it could be another...
Drop those three chakra reptiles underground and stick a rock on the hole.
Yeah, well, I mean, exactly. That's where they're from. Yeah.
Well, you know, they're going to lock themselves in. Let them stay. You know, enjoy. They may have communication systems that connects them with things that are out of our reach, like satellites that can rain down death and missiles through drones and stuff like that.
Truman Show.
That might. Yeah. Exactly.
Well, there are good people in the networks and everything else like that. So I think that's what we've been watching as well, is that, like, if you read the Benjamin Fulford stuff and some of the Cobra stuff, behind the scenes, everything's, you know, the fit has hit the shan, basically, and the elephant was the one sitting above the fan. Because they're all freaking out. They've been trying to push a war for the last 5 years, so on and so forth. And someone was pointing out, like, if you take 7 days, any 7 days of this year, politically, geopolitically, or whatever would happen, everything that happened that 7 days would have taken a year, maybe 2 years ago. But now everything's moving so fast, it's up to everything's moving in a week. So, like, for my roundtables, I like people calling in because I have no idea what to talk about because there's no real new stuff. We're sort of in that... in a quiet before the storm, information-wise. What do you think? Am I wrong, right, close, or how does that bounce around in your
head? It depends where you're looking for the news and on what level your feelers are. But, yeah, there's a hiatus. There's, like, a pause, and I think I've been personally using the pause, and I think most people have been using the pause to kind of go... Okay. Kind of thing.
Yeah.
Right,
yeah,
just like, wow, that was pretty intense. Hang on, give me a minute. I'll be all right in a minute. Okay, let's go.
I just got to lean against this tree for a minute. Oh, yeah. That's a nice bit of bark. Right, let's go. Right.
Yeah, yeah. So,
who's running that Jade Helm joystick?
Who knows? Somebody. You know that somebody's doing it. You know, someone is manipulating it, and it's probably something that rhymes with boss ad, or, you know, foss ad, or something like that.
It also could be a moment where they think the loss ad or whoever you're talking about, I'm not sure, tries to influence their operation. I'm thinking there may be a mass reversal where they put forward their plans, but somewhere along the way, someone goes, "No, we're doing this now," and they ostracize all the people that want to do bad things.
Well. One of my erstwhile guests, Simon Parks, is a very interesting character. I'm going to get him on Revolution Radio soon. He's an English counsellor, and he's also a reptilian mantid hybrid, just for the crack. And he's got some very interesting information. And like, for instance, something about the Putins is that Putin's had a baby. They tried to assassinate him. The Americans tried to, and they also tried to, send, it was like really obvious, like, they tried to send them some data like making some kind of server available to them that they could download information into, that was saying, yeah, we're going to attack Russia. Oh, shh, don't tell Russia. You know, kind of thing. And the Russians went, you're trying to fool me? You know.
What is this?
Yeah, yeah. Only an idiot would do a thing like this. And obviously, you know, David Cameron is in fact an idiot. What we used to call an upper-class twit in the old days.
Yes. Great Monty Python sketch of upper class twit of the year award.
Exactly. You know, that is David Cameron and his boys. You look at Ed Miliband, right? Miliband. He sounds like a little insect. And he's got these really, he's got a brother called David Miliband, and they look like, do you have twin TV personalities? Like they're like, there's a thing called Anton Deck or Jedward, and there's these like clones, and they're the same. Anyway, so our prime minister and his deputy thing is they're these two guys, and they look like sort of clones of each other, Cabbage Patch Kids, they're just putting forward the Illuminati's. It's almost like, you know, and this is what our bosses told us to tell you. Putting forward the right-wing global Nazism agenda, which is what's happening in every part of the world. And welcome to Nazi Earth, you know. Crystal Knight is not far away. But the Nazis have to come out before we can stop them. So they have to play their stuff out. We can't stop the Nazis coming out. But we have to be able to, encapsulate whatever comes out. You know, like you would say there was a kind of natural wellspring of some kind of poisonous stuff that was coming out. You'd build a kind of protective shield around it to stop it poisoning people, and you would find some way of collecting it. So that's the sort of thing we have to do. That's the kind of approach we might have to take. That's what nature does. You know, if you get a splinter and it goes into your finger and you can't get it out and it snaps off, what your body does is build a kind of layer of fat around it. And eventually it will push it out and it will become a boil, and then it will, and eventually it will heal over. But it works it out. That's what's called working out. It will push it out slowly. Having encapsulated it. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, denung.
Denung. Remember where you heard it first, people, the nung. It's coming to get you.
We the denungers put forward. Have you had your nung today? There's a good.
There you go, your daily nung.
Yes. Are you a nunger? Are you? Hmm?
Well, you see, and here's the thing, you know, that Candida actually smells. You can tell, you know, people, like you get dogs who, like, can smell cancer. You ever seen that? You got these dogs, and they'll go up to a person, and they say, this person has cancer, and the dog goes up, and it'll sniff around and kind of sniff away at a particular part of their body, and they say, that's amazing, that's where they got the cancer. You know, it's because the dog smells the candida. It's like fungus. It's like mold, you know. Mm. So when our bodies go moldy, that's when they go cancerous. That's what it is. We're allowing our bodies to go moldy.
Acidic, ooh.
Yeah.
Well, here's a question. My ex-girlfriend, she was born with cancer, and she had it removed from her thigh when she was born. So she's had an interesting journey. But some people have been born with cancer, so I'm wondering, is that got to do with the mother's acidity, or is she just extremely special? Well, she was when she was my girlfriend. I just wanted to add that.
I'd say. I'm not entirely sure. I wouldn't say that I knew anything about this, but I would hazard that the baby had taken in some form of stuff through the placenta. You know, You see, because yeast is it's the gluten and the yeast. The gluten, like a you know, you got to think about like wheat is like pointy, yeah. The wheat, you think of wheat as a grass, it's kind of pointy and sticky, and you know, it's got these points to it, and that's what gluten's like. And so gluten pokes into the side of your gut and makes these holes, and then the yeast goes, oh wow, look at that amazing new environment, let me go and explore. And oh look, there's sugar available here. Let's have a party.
Refined sugar too. Refined sugar too. Yeah. Yummy.
Let's have a party.
Gluten, stay away, please, stay away.
So, you know, and you know, now everybody's suffering from it. Why is everybody suffering from it now? Because we're given so much sugar. It's like this is the thing. If we give them loads of sugar, it's like boiling the frog. You give them a little bit right at the beginning, you know. Now look at the amount of sugar in a soda. I haven't drunk a soda for months. I don't think I could handle it now. I'd probably feel ill with the amount of sugar that's in it.
How about this one, JP?
Yeah.
Sugar feeds infection. It's a government connection.
Ah, nice. Sugar is also that which feeds inflammation. Here's some information for you. If you are inflamed, if you got like gum mouth ulcers or ulcers of any kind of inflammation, cut down on eating sugar. See if that works. Just saying. You know, sugar's cubes. It's got little cubic crystals, little sharp-edged crystals. It sticks into your skin.
Those little Saturn cubes of sugar.
Yeah. GABA. Borg.
Resistance is futile and flavorous.
Yeah.
Sorry.
That's right. I mean, yeah, resistance to sugar is very difficult, isn't it? It's everywhere, especially in the States, you know. Even in...
Yeah, the temptation is so strong. It's just... They start right from young children. Yeah. They get you right away, you know. It's amazing. Even when you're sick, they give you ice cream, which is just packed with sugar.
I'm going to give you all a recipe for chocolate that you can make yourself in minutes. Right? You get coconut oil, and you warm it in a pan. You don't put a flame underneath it. You put it in a bowl, and you put a flame under the bowl, you know, that sort of thing. And you warm coconut oil until it melts. Then add honey to make it sweet, and then cocoa powder, organic if you can. And you stir it until it stiffens, and then let it cool down in the fridge. And you've got yourself raw chocolate that has all the goodness from the cocoa and the chocolate bean. It's goodness from the coconut oil, and it's goodness from the honey. Or antibacterial.
Essential fatty acids plus a real healthy blood barrier with the chocolate for
that's
the brain.
Right.
Real positive.
And magnesium, brothers and sisters. Magnesium, that's why you eat chocolate, okay? So that's how to get yourself chocolate without having to eat the sugar. You just put enough honey in to balance the bitterness of the thing. And maybe, you know, get used to less and less sweet. Meet we sweet.
Yeah, how beautiful is that? Plus the chocolate cocoa, that's the love molecule.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. The love molecule.
I want to know when food went split into two, where there's food and now organic food. So does that make food fake food? When did this happen? I find it fascinating where, do you want some food? Oh, is it organic? Well, that should be food. So whatever they call food now isn't.
Yeah, well, that started after the Second World War when they had all the excess, like, chemicals from making bombs, right? Saltpeter. And they thought, potassium nitrate. Yeah, nitrates, there you are. You need that in the soil. Let's just throw that at the field, shall we? And they found, oh, look at that, great big vegetables. But they didn't realize that it depleted the soil of everything else and all the other things. And then, of course, you know, because the cattle were eating it, the cattle got sick, so they gave them antibiotics to stop them being sick, and then they gave them the other things to deal with the side effects of the antibiotics and so on until we got our current sick agriculture business.
Yeah, it's really hard. We must specify because most of the food out there is Frankenfood.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's Don't right. panic. It's organic. It's really hard, but you got to strive for that.
And also, humans have been eating food for, what, 300,000 to a million years, and apparently now some guy in a suit says this bit of cheese is better than something that came out of a cow. I do find it interesting how, we have to do this now. What has changed apart from the planet becoming a toxic ball? And people can't really make that. They think, this is how life is, so what can you do? It's like, well, we can remember how we were before we started nuking the planet and realize that, I'm from Australia. You have the Aboriginals here in Australia. They've been here for 50,000 years and they've sustained life here for 50,000 years. And then, of course, the European, when they turned up, they didn't understand a thing and said, oh, they're savages, and went and killed them, which doesn't make them civilized. But I think a lot of the old ways will be coming back. That's what I was trying to say. There you go.
Didgeridoo for communication. Maybe JP's got a didgeridoo sound there for us. I mean, that was their major form of communication back in Australia in the times you're talking about.
There's the other thing... what do they call it? It's not the Woomera. It's basically a flat disc or flat oval on the end of a long rope, and you swing the rope around, and it makes a really, really low sound that is modulated by the spinning oval thing. What's that called?
Yeah, it's not a Woomera. A Woomera is like a spear chucker. I think that's where it is. I'm not sure. But I know Paul Hogan in one of the Crocodile Dundee movies actually uses one of them, and he says, oh, just got to make a call, and because they can travel over. If you've seen a photo of Australia, it's really big. And so that way, apart from using campfire traveling at night and stuff like that, they would use, I think it is a Woomera, we'll just call it a Woomera until someone says otherwise. But, yeah, they would use that for sound, and that travels across. They would stand on a hill or at top of a valley and contact whoever's in earshot, which, because it was so low, that sound would actually travel further.
So, but basically it's a low frequency boomer.
Waves.
It makes low frequency sound waves, and low frequencies have a long wavelength, which means they travel far, and they're kind of earth-hugging as well. So,
They'll resonate through the earth as well. So, now, I believe Uluru or Ayers Rock, and then you've got, I think it's the Bungle Bungles. They're the earth chakra in Australia, apparently. Somehow they're split up.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not sure if that's true or not, but they are both very spiritual sites. I refer to them as the locals, because they've been here long enough, but the Aboriginals, I believe... now I could be flipping it around, but I believe women can't look at Uluru, and the men can't look at the Bungle Bungles, or it's the other way around, and because you've got secret women's business and secret man's business, which obviously, because they've still got the same tribal structure, they have been caretaking the land for thousands of years.
Thank you very much.
It's amazing, JP. It's all about frequency.
Indeed. So it's called a bull roarer. Thank you very much, Kortek. And he's given the coordinates of information in .wikipedia.org/wiki/bull roarer. So it's like bull as in cow, roarer as in somebody who roars or something that
and
roars.
If you heard one of those things being used in the... What's that, a bull roarer? Yeah, I can see that, because it does sound like a bull roaring.
Yeah.
So, on that wah, 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 wah sound. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, you can probably get one.
There's a lot of fascinating stuff. Yeah, yes. I actually watched... I'm not sure if it's shown out of Australia, but there was a four-part documentary series called Footprints, or The First Footprints, and they followed the Aboriginals from 60,000 years ago up until 1788 when the first fleet arrived. And it's fascinating, like, the oldest religious painting, which is like about 30,000 years ago or something like that, is in Australia. And so there were, it's interesting in the show how they compared, they were using European history as, like, when the Europeans were doing this, the Aboriginals would be doing this for how many years. And because of the rising sea, Papua New Guinea was actually part of Australia. And as the sea rose, obviously they created the Torres Strait. And that's where all the islands are, because they're all the hilltops. Mm. But in for 9,000 years, the Aboriginals in Papua New Guinea actually had agriculture. They planted stuff and everything else like that. But because the sea levels rose, it never made it to the mainland of Australia. And if it did, it didn't really work because of the environment. So First Footprints, with narrated by Ernie Dingo, if you can find that anywhere on the net. It is quite fascinating. I learned a lot about it because we obviously I was taught in a English or British school, and of course they won, so they keep out all the other stories. But yeah, there you go. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Monty Dean. Thank you so much, Wind Woman and Rob from New Mexico. It's been a very interesting journey this evening and this week. I hope everybody stay safe. Be good to yourself. Be good to your present self. Be good to your past self. And be good, especially, to your future self. Have a beautiful week. Good night, everybody.
Thank you for the journey.
This is Revolution Radio.